Ladies and gentlemen, we are back from our first section, our first segment, and as promised, I've got my my friend here, Mohammed Rafiq, online here on this same day. This is the same day. This is 5 minutes after that other close down on the 15th of June, Sunday. We're going to talk about a couple of things. Well, the first thing I want to talk about is what we were just discussing, Mohammed, when the call started here, which is this defeat of the Constitution here in the European theater here, and the Irish have clearly said they don't want it. Now, when the French said they didn't want it, you know what they did? They allowed the National Assembly to vote it approved and ignored the people. So the first vote was lost, clearly. They took the voting rights out of the hands of the public and put it in the National Assembly and passed it. They did the same thing in Holland. So what's to stop the Irish from saying, okay, we're going to let our National Assembly decide on entering, and the hell with what the people want to do as a referendum?
Well, of course, Darrell, they have a very serious set of situations there in respect of who can vote for what. One of the problems that the different member states have in Europe is that they've obviously got different national legislation allowing for different sets of rules. Here in the UK and in Ireland, there is fundamental constitutional law which forces the government to have votes. They can't actually find ways of squirming around them. And because Tony Blair, whilst he was had his 10 years with the reins of power in this country, whilst he knew that there was no way that they would win a referendum, the way that they dealt with it was by refusing to allow people to have one. I think that always with what started, if you remember, this whole European thing started as what was known as the common market, Darrell.
That's right. Yep.
And the idea was it was about freeing up trade within the member states so that we removed tariffs and taxes and obstruction to free trade. And I don't think that's problematic. What there is on the back of this is a group of what are known as the statists, who were just trying to create a single European superstate.
That's right.
On the back of it. And what we clearly have is a situation where, you know, the conduct of the French trying to write it in through the back door, the French government, that is, and not let the French people have any say in the affair, just adds weight to what people in the UK and in the Republic of Ireland have been saying all along, which is that we're losing our right to freedom of speech, and we're losing our right to influence with inside the European Union. And this, of course, just adds to the number of people who, in a referendum, would vote against it.
Well, let me ask you this, Mohammed. I don't know who my representative in Brussels is from this area where I live in. Do you know who yours is?
No, and more importantly, we don't actually have representatives.
Well, there is one. There is one from our region that was sent there. There is from France. There is somebody that's supposed to be representing me in Brussels that was elected. I can't for the life of me tell you who it is. I know who all the national players are, but the fact is that this is like a technocratic, bureaucratic, nightmarish center that people feel they know they have no connection to.
Well, the interesting thing, Darrell, the reason I say they're not a representative is that they're not actually voted for in any form of election here in the UK. So although they are what I would call a delegate, there are people who have been delegated through whatever process within inside of Europe to make representations for British people, but they're not representative of the British people because
No.
we didn't vote for anybody.
Yeah. It's a fraud.
Definition, that's not representative.
Well, and then of course, if you spend any time in looking at Brussels, you'll find out that all the major corporations that are influenced by the people we fight against on a daily basis are pulling the strings behind almost every single bureaucracy in Brussels. They want to limit our access to herbal cures. They want to limit our access to local milk sources so that it has to be coming from a central milk source, and you can't raise your own beef anymore here and have it slaughtered for yourself. You have to go through the Brussels crime gang to have food on your farm.
Water,
whoa, that's one of the worst ones, water. They want to start metering wells like they do in America. Same stuff, same people, same crimes. And the fact is the people, when they find out about it, are outraged, and they don't even know where to go to complain. So what did the French do? They voted it down. And then, lo and behold, they pay off their extorted criminal leadership in the national government here, and they voted in. So, I got to tell you something. There is a head. This is coming to a head, Mohammed. And, you know, my brother on a radio show the other day when I was listening to, he made it very clear that economic issues in the United States, pocketbook issues, his exact words are, when you reach into your pockets and pull out rabbit ears, you want to know who did that to you. And that is happening more and more every day. People want to know why it is their pockets are empty.
Absolutely do. And, of course, we can look at the same criminal gang to blame. It's absolutely astounding, you know, Darryl, the amount of money which the U.S. administration managed to find for the bogus war in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yep.
Yet they still make people in the United States pay for health care. I find it absolutely incredible that when the government needed money for guns and bombs to kill foreigners, there was no difficulty. But when it came to schools and university and all the things which are the very backbone and fibre of society, that there's been no money for any of that.
Well, that's right. We've discussed on previous files where Sally Mae can no longer raise any money to help people go to college. So basically,
they're not good for even debt, even borrowing money for student loans, and all the different types of home loans. Everything which has been the fabric of American life for such a long time, and the American people have to really ask themselves, you know, why have we allowed our administration to take this from us? And I think, Darryl, you know, when they start asking that question, or those questions, that's when we'll find out exactly why the American police have been given high-powered sniper and assault rifles.
Well, you know, the recent thing where they're going to give habeas corpus rights to detainees in Guantanamo, as it should be, as it always should have been, and then the administration says, well, we're going to ignore the Supreme Court's decision. We're going to ignore it. I mean, this is the highest court in the land that has just said that is what you're doing is illegal, and the administration says, well, we don't care. We're not going to pay any attention to your decision. If you need more evidence that the country has been completely stolen and we're in tyranny, that is a perfect example of tyranny. That means the Constitution and the process of constitutional justice is being ignored openly now. They don't even care that they say it. They say it openly.
Well, of course, Darryl, as President George Bush pointed out, the Constitution is only a piece of paper.
Well, that's exactly what he said. And he said, you know, our enemies are trying to do harm to America, and so are we. So apparently, oh, good gravy. Let's talk a little bit about the money problems we got. I got to tell you, you know, with every passing week, the depth and the breadth of this problem, this money situation, it's just becoming evident now that the solutions they have claimed are nonsense on their face. As we said back in November of last year, that the solutions they would claim to have would never work. And now, professionals across the financial world are finally, 8 months after the fact, coming on board to what we knew back in almost 10 months ago, Mohammed.
Well, of course, Darryl, what we have in the Financial Times, which has been very telling, is an editorial recently whereby a lot of people in the financial markets, and just to clarify for the listeners out there, not everybody, Darryl, of course, understands everything who works in the finance industry.
That's right.
It's so big, and it has so many specialists in there that a guy who maybe heads up an equity options department in a major bank really doesn't understand anything to do with the management of bank capital that we've discussed before, or bonds or anything. And why, for that matter, would he? That's not how he makes his money, and he wouldn't profession interest there.
Well, let me ask you, how did you come to understand it? I came to understand it for two reasons. One, I studied it as a student and made it my business to study it. I did it as an investor and a trader in the markets, but then I also did it as a teacher and a professor. So I came upon the information of the overall system by more than 15 straight years of trying to understand how it all came together, because I had to turn around and explain it to other people. That's not always the case with professionals. You may get out of a school and get a degree, and somebody from the credit risk department picks you up. That doesn't mean you're part of the capital department. It doesn't mean you're part of the receivables or the debt department or the bond department or any other department. And you work for 15 years in that department that you're good at, and you still haven't got the whole picture. Am I right?
That's correct, Daryl, absolutely. And in fact, the number of people who understand the whole picture in a bank are very few. You can even say that at the board level, there will be somebody whose job it is to understand the management of the bank capital, maybe one or two people at the board level, and they will have a team of maybe, depending on the size of the bank, anything from 2 to 10 people. And out of that, you know, there's a core nucleus of two or three who really understand about bank capital. That's even true for the whole of, say, a big bank like UBS or Citibank. There's two or three people making decisions, and with HSBC, all the bulge banks, very small number of people who really fully understand the position of a bank and its capital. Not even the accountants understand it, because in this day and age, capital is linked in with all these risk-based numbers that we've discussed previously.
Yep.
The ice creams and umbrellas and
That's
all
right.
of this complex stuff. So it's become even more difficult. So what happens is that a guy who's a bond option trader or equity option trader, Dow, or bond dealer, whatever area is in, or settlements, they've actually relied a lot on the mainstream media, but obviously the financial press, maybe like the Wall Street Journal, the Financial Times, all the big money papers.
Yeah, La Tribune or others. Now, I'd like to ask you, when you know somebody tries to jawbone like Bernanke has done, and the Fed gets involved with this other chucklehead over at the Treasury Department, Paulson, and they both go out and they say, well, we want a strong dollar and we're going to implement a strong dollar, and the strong dollar is the way going forward. And then what happens is their plunge protection team, hours after these declarations, goes out and spends a few billion electronic dollars on propping up the dollar. They get a couple of foreign Fed banks, maybe England will buy a few, and the ECB, and all of a sudden the dollar looks like it's turning, and everybody in the trading market goes, oh, look, Bernanke said it's going to be strong, so did Paulson, and now look, it's getting strong. We better get out of this, the short positions we have, and get on to a strong dollar thing. And it worked. It has been working in the past. My point I brought this up is it isn't anymore, Mohammed.
Daryl, you've made a brilliant explanation there. That's exactly what happens. Because these guys are specialists, they have, rather like the average man in the street, also put faith in the words of these men.
Yep.
And what's happened now, which is a departure from this, is that there was an article in the Financial Times last week that said that the financial markets now understand that these guys have been talking out the top of their trousers.
That's right.
To a large degree.
That's right.
And that they've said, well, they lowered the rates, and just so everybody understands this, where the professionals are coming from, they stood by while the central banks lowered the rates with a view that the banks would then gain confidence in the lower rates to lend money out to corporates, etc. And then we raised on the show, Daryl, the fact that this had failed, and that the Federal Reserve Bank, for the first time in history of central banking, ignored the standard money market process and began lending to corporates directly because the banks refused to do it. Unprecedented action by any central bank.
But worse than that, the American Federal Reserve had no business actually going into foreign capital markets, into foreign banks, and lending money on the QT, which is what they did to a Royal Bank of Scotland, if I'm not mistaken, or was it Barclays? Tell me.
It was Barclays.
Barclays. So the American public and their dollar system had actually clandestinely gave tens of billions away to foreign banks to prop them up.
Yes, $42 billion was actually lent to Barclays Bank on that basis through Barclays Capital, their subsidiary Barclays Capital. Now, the thing is that what's happened, Daryl, is that these people who've looked at this kind of behavior and then realized, hey, the Fed went out even directly and gave money out directly, even because the banks didn't have the confidence to it and they didn't have the cash in some instances. What then happened is nothing changed, and now they've got stagflation, as it's known in the industry, eating at them from both directions. So they're having to get rid of stagflation by creating inflation. So they're going to have to raise the interest rates to try and get the lesser of two evils. And what this has brought home for the financial market professionals is they've suddenly understood that no matter what route the central banks took, it was going to end in financial collapse.
They say, damned if you do, damned if you don't. It doesn't matter, you're damned, you're finished, you're gone.
We told people from the outset that this is an inevitability which is unavoidable.
That's right.
That although they may have bought time, the strange thing is, Daryl, that things that we've been telling the faithful listeners out there on the French Connection for 8-9 months, whatever, it's now mainstream financial media and all the markets have woken up to it. And for the first time, there's a new level of panic which is setting in the financial markets that they understand no matter what happens now, it's going bad.
That's right. And I mean, what people are starting to realize also, Mohammed, is that their recourse within their own world, within their own bank, within their own business, their own job, whatever it is not going to in any way meet whatever needs they've got. The people are starting to see on a lower level that there's nothing their employer is going to do for them, there's nothing their government is going to do for them, and they have begun to realize that they're going to have to do for themselves. But they're trying to come up with this idea to do it themselves without any knowledge. And this is why the French Connection's information and going forward, we have to tell people who did this, Mohammed. We've got to get it out there and say, look, world criminal Zionism in its incarnation since Herzl has done this to us. And one of the people I talked about in the first part of this rant, which you'll hear when you play the file yourself, is that the Jews themselves need to be re-educated. Because as I've said to you before, Mohammed, many people within the Jewish community have been duped. And they've been lied to probably as a group more than any other. But also, they've got connections within the crime gang that they're not even aware they could affect if they knew the truth. And what we need is people from in their own ranks to start rebelling.
Well, they certainly, they're not going to be immune from this.
No.
And their families and, they do have their own families to think of and their own family futures, their own children and their grandchildren, and they need to be thinking in those kinds of terms, not in short-term thinking. The problem that we have is really how big this Zoharite group is, because the Zoharites, their own children, they take a view on them like Fritzl, I'm afraid, Daryl, and, the question is, do the Jews understand, do many Jews understand that in the middle of them are hundreds of thousands, maybe even in the millions, we don't know what that percentage is exactly, but they're in the middle of them, they've been deceiving them for hundreds of years, making fools out of them, really, I'm sorry to have to say, for an intelligent group of people, that the Zoharites have made fools out of them, and we now have to start saying to them, wake up and wise up, before it's too late, because it's getting very, very, we're getting close to the 11th hour now, Daryl, it's close to the midnight hour, rather, we're way past the 11th hour. We're 1 minute away from midnight now.
I think there's a crash almost imminent. And look, Of course, you know, when I'm sitting in a Paris cafe and get threatened with poisoning Muhammad, you know, the first thing that came to my mind when this dawned on me that these people, who they were and what they were doing, was that they knew where I was and had followed me there. And the fact that I hadn't seen them was a very frightening experience for me. And I got to tell you, I'm a very aware traveler. I know what's going on around me. And to have people say that they want to poison me and the rest of it, I mean, come on. They must be worried about this information. And I've looked around the internet, and a lot of people have tried to pick up on our efforts and done their own work and put their own websites up. But the fact is, we're still the most powerful force in the game here. And I don't, you know, I can't be silenced. It's too early for me to be taken out of this game. There's too much work to be done here.
You know, Darrell, the thing is that we certainly, with the French connection, set the high bar. You know, when it comes to the standard of material that's out there, it's obviously the highest quality and caliber. There is a huge number of people who, because of the revelations which have occurred through the French connection and the educational information which has come out and the connecting of the dots, it forced a lot of the false sites and shill sites to actually start discussing this material. They are all now, and anybody who's listened to the French Connection to the last 8-9 months, you people out there, you're seeing for yourselves the headlines about what's happening with these banks, how many times that they've tried to tell everybody it's all over and there's nothing to worry about. We told people about monolines in December.
That's right.
Darrell, our listeners know that they've had the best quality information. They've been ahead of the curve by 5 or 6 months just through listening. We've done our bit. We've really tried to present to people the best we can in what's going on. What we really need for them now is to start supporting this even more. We need active support. We're not just passive. We're grateful for people listening and educating themselves. That's important. Yep. But we need more people to act on this now.
That's right. And I mean, and this is at a time when I've watched, well, I've had very helpful people try to keep my bills in check on the French Connection. I have. And I'm grateful to them. But can I tell you that it's the same group of people every month or two that pony up a couple of bucks? I get 40s from some, 20 from others, 50 from others. The fact of the matter is, when you add it all up with what's going on in my world, it's not a whole heck of a lot of money, and I'm always being at the begging bowl here. It feels like I shouldn't have to do this to make this thing work for me. I shouldn't have to beg to keep the lights on. I shouldn't have to do that, and yet, sadly, I do. What it makes me feel is that many of the listeners are either in the same boat I am, which is right near the edge, or they're afraid to maybe make a commitment to the French Connection because maybe they think they'll be found out if they do, or maybe if they mail to my P.O. box and won't get there. Well, let me assure you it does get there. Let me also assure you that any help you give me is going to go right back into this battle. I want to start opening mirror sites that don't have my URL on it myself. I want to do that. I want to buy... Remember you said the other day, we'll buy a whole carnet of them. We'll buy a whole book full. I'll buy 10 different websites at a sitting and just plop a bunch of stuff out there with the I Am the Witness moniker taken off of it, same information. Boy, will that flip them out.
Well, we have quite a few solutions that we'll pull out of the bag technologically as and when that's appropriate. There are even more advanced solutions than that too, Darrell. So we've got answers there. I think coming back to the point of financing, I think that God bless all of those listeners out there who are putting money out every time. And for those of us in the same degree of penury as myself and yourself, Darrell, let's hope that God improves our lot on all of that. I sincerely hope that the people who pray out there pray for that, and that everybody else who touches rabbit's foot or whatever it is they do for that, to increase. But for the people out there who are nervous, I'm sorry, it's time to get over that nervousness now. It's time to put the fear to one side. Everything that we've said has come to pass. We've not been 99% right, Darrell. We've been 100% right.
That's right.
Because we are well informed, and our listeners, as a result, are well informed. they, and I would say this to you out there as listeners who've got the, some money but are nervous, you've got a moral duty now, whereby you've got an education that you've had for free. You have a moral duty now to support other people in gaining that education, and you've got to come through the fear factor. Yes, people will be able to trace it back to your bank accounts and all this, that and the other, but there comes a time in life, you know, Darryl, where you've got to nail your colours to the mast, and that's all there is to it. And we're close to that now. We're so close to it, too. If we don't have people coming out and putting their names onto this at the same time, then there's not a lot of point in gaining the education. Ultimately, that education has to lead to some form of action.
That's right. And this is where we've been deficient lately in the fact that we haven't seen the kind of action that's going to be necessary, really, to make a difference here. Information is the key to getting people willing to take action. Now it's time to actually make the next leap of faith here and take the actions necessary. I think, as my brother pointed out, you know, people are becoming more and more angered by what they're seeing around them, and they are more willing to take an aggressive stand. And that's a possibility for all of us. You know, I've got a couple of new books I want to put up on the site too, Muhammad. Of course, I'm always looking for, and I have to read them first. I won't put them up unless I've read them. I do have a problem when only the word Jew is used, Muhammad, because I happen to know as a fact that the Jewish community is just in desperate need of re-education. And as you pointed out, of the 16 to 18 million Jews in the world, there might be 1 or 2 million Zoharite Talmudists out there with criminal intent. The rest of them are just been lied to, like the Christian Zionists have been, and like the American patriots who stand there and say, "Oh, we need to, you know, beat up Iraq because Osama bin Laden is living there," or some stupid nonsense.
In defense of those books, by the way, Darryl, and just so that the average listener out there can understand this, of course, some of these books which were written prior to the existence of Zionism.
That's right.
People who'd observed this conduct with inside the Jewish community,
yep,
didn't have access to the kind of materials that have been presented, and the information that's been presented on the French Connection, didn't actually understand that subtle difference. And to some degree, that was a cause of genuine anti-Semitism, because they saw the behavior of this group, didn't understand all the different types of theology that were in the group, the different types of political bent that were in the group, so weren't able to actually discriminate. So they used the term Jew because that's all that they understood.
That's right.
I'm sure that in a lot of those books which have been determined to be anti-Semitic by modern standards, had those people been aware of the difference between Ashkenazi and Sephardi, had they known about the Zionists, had they known about Zoharites, Rabbinic Talmudism, had they understood those things, I'm sure that they in turn would have been more precise in their terminology.
Right.
So I understand your concern in the books, Darryl, but also we have to show a little bit of compassion to the people at the time who were writing, because they didn't have access to the quality of materials that people have got on the French Connection.
I think you're right. And well, you know, as we go through this, Muhammad, I think people what they really need to do is start to look for alternatives for their daily needs, and start getting a program together for their families. For stored foods, for get ready for a deepening of access to the staff of life and the things you're going to need. That doesn't just mean in America. We're seeing this more and more here in France. You're seeing it in Britain. As this housing crunch also flares in Britain, as it has, and the knock-on effects into the derivative markets and the City of London and the rest of it are all going to get much worse. You're going to need to have a plan, and if you're going to hope to be standing shoulder to shoulder with us, you can't be mired in your survival. You have to have some sort of structure so that you can end up donating some of that additional time to us. And so that requires some nuts and bolts work as well. I mean, you know, you've got to have a couple of ducats aside for of silver to do some negotiating. You've got to have some stored rice and flour and some beans and the rest of it. You got to have a couple of jerry cans full of extra fuel and all of these types of things, so that as the crunch comes, you can still pony up over here.
Well, of course, that's providing people can get hold of silver and gold at the moment, Darrell.
That's right.
From what I've been reading about the inventory, the physical inventory in the United States, some of the suppliers now have got deliveries of 4 and 5 months. So, it's impossible to understand what is going on in the world when the spot price keeps falling, and yet they're unable to meet supply by 3 or 4 months, 5 months on the physical. If people can get hold of silver and gold out there, whether it's in coin form, whether it's in bar form, ingot form, whatever, really, you should get hold of it. If it comes within your grasp, then you should snap it up, because it's going to get harder and harder to get hold of, Darrell.
Well, I worry every day about the people I love, and I worry about the people out there who have been working hard to have a family life and a life of kindness, Muhammad, and they've come up against this criminal gang, and now so many in World War II and one and back into history have died needlessly, have suffered needlessly. And now I'm seeing these same events unfold again, and I feel terrible inside for what's going to happen to many, many people, including possibly yours truly and you, Muhammad. I mean, we're all in the same boat together, and it's time every one of us pulled out all the stops. It's time to really put something together here and fight harder. I don't know what else to do. I'm trying to rally the troops here. I'm trying to let people know that I'm not going to quit fighting as long as I've got breath in my body. But at the same time, effectiveness is important. It goes without saying that, I mean, if I'm standing in the middle of a field in the middle of nowhere screaming the truth and no one's hearing me, then am I affecting any change? No, probably all I'm doing is burning up my own energy. I need this thing to really start hitting other ears, other areas. My brother said to me, "Went in Massachusetts. I'm barred in banks, in libraries, and in all major institutions of government. You cannot Google or go onto my website. Canadians have the same trouble. There's Germans that can't go on my site. This is already happening worldwide, where they're suppressing my information, which means it should tell you something." They're not doing it to the other sites. They're doing it to me.
No, indeed, Dal. And,
yeah.
Of course, another example of the kind of information that we gave out in terms of accuracy, when we were discussing the monolines back in December, and then we touched again on it, I think, in February, and then a couple of weeks ago, Dal.
Yep.
We told people all the way down the line these AAA ratings were a gross fraud. When we're looking at apportioning blame, we can look at S&P and Moody's and the people in those companies who are receiving money for giving out these ratings, that so many people had been deceived there. And we told people these things aren't going to move down incrementally. It's not going to go from AAA to AA. They took a whack straight down to single A.
And it should actually be at junk status if they really did their balance sheet correctly.
Indeed, but the fact that we told people back in December that these things are going to drop and they're not going to move incrementally. Normally, you know, with ratings when they're being done professionally, Darrell, when it goes AAA plus right at the top end, then AAA, then AAA minus. There's a bit of a warning that there's something a little bit unsure, a bit unclear. Then it goes AA plus, then AA, then AA minus. Then single A plus, then single A. When you think about those subtle gradations that these so-called professional analysts are supposed to be doing in bringing us down to that, they went whack from AAA straight down to single A, no pluses, minuses in the middle. We said that was going to happen because the position was untenable.
Okay.
When we said that they were about to change it, I said to you, Darrell, it's going single A. They came out in S&P and said, we can't actually just take this down to AA. We're going to have to single A it. And the cost was massive overnight. $10 billion alone, $10 billion, Darrell, to UBS, Citigroup, and who were the others? Merrill's.
Well, and so, that's only from what has blown up right now.
Yeah.
And what we've got is a whole new set of due dates coming. There was one that we talked about, you and I, privately, where they have about a year's time on coupons and on payments to make these things, either solvent or insolvent. And right now we're getting to that fiscal time of year where many new instruments are going to blow. And so we've got tens or hundreds of billions more in failures just on the horizon. And those were all based upon that AAA, and now they're AA.
So it's actually been admitted that there were 1 trillion bonds insured by those two companies, 1 trillion in nominal, Darrell, and the insurance on those trillion of bonds is now worthless. So, you know, work that out. But the 10 billion was just, as you say, on direct costs there. The indirect, as insurers, as monoline insurers, is vast. But the point here is, Darrell, that we told people, not the Financial Times, not the Wall Street Journal, not the LA Times, none of the professional financial press actually said the emperor has no clothes. We've been saying it since time. We've been telling people these institutions responsible, and we use the word here responsible. What does that mean? Responsibility. They're responsible for giving accurate and representative ratings so that we buy and sell and behave according to the work that those so-called professionals are supposed to do. They've been lying their back teeth out to us now for 6 or 7 months.
Yeah.
And when we're looking at who to blame, there's one group of people that they need to be put against the wall and shot.
That's right.
For what they've done.
That's right.
It's treasonous.
It is treasonous. And then the fact that, but see, when you take a look at who owns Pearson's, who's reporting this stuff in the Times, Financial Times, it's also a Rothschild company. You look at the AP, the AP press lines. You look at the Agent France press. You look at Reuters, same hands, same people, same criminals, same Zionists. You take a look at the government control, same people, same Zionists, same criminals, same gang, same money. It's the same people, and they are all right now backs against the wall, but so are ours. And we're lining up face to face here for this drag out fight. The line's been drawn in the sand. Time to pull the gloves off. It's time to take the gloves off and really start getting these people in a prone position so we can reject them and eject them from our lives. And I believe, Muhammad, more than I ever have, that defeating them is a surety. It's just not the time we think it's going to take. It may take a generation to get them out, but the fact of the matter is they're gone. This truth cannot be put back in the box here. We've exposed them in a way that they cannot stop the exposure.
It's irreversible, Dale.
Irreversible.
Absolutely irreversible. In the same way, and this is why we're saying to people out there, time to nail the colours to the mast. Don't worry about, people being able to work out who's giving out money here, there and everywhere. Who cares? This is going to develop into a shin-kicking contest. And, I've brought my clogs and I recommend that everybody else bring theirs.
I'm going to get my pointy cowboy boots on, and we'll try those. Hey, Muhammad. Again, giving everybody an update on a Sunday evening is time out of your family. But see, you've always stepped up and put your effort in, and so have I. I want to thank you again for doing that. We're just hitting off here around the time for this file to end. It's been about 40 minutes, and we've covered a lot of bases here. We've got more to talk about later next week, possibly, if you're going to be available.
Yes, I will be, Darrell.
Well, I will be talking to you privately on other matters, and I'll give you a call. And I thank you very much for spending the time with my listeners here.
You're most welcome, and thank you for the opportunity, Darrell.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Muhammad Rafiq. Again, you know him well from listening to these files. If you're new to Muhammad's work, go back into the files and listen to the things we've said consistently through time. We've never been wrong about this thing, and we're not wrong now. So just you can take our information and make decisions based upon it. As for the rest of you out there, please, it's time for you to step up and be counted among the supporters of truth. If that means a small donation to us, I have to always go hat in hand here for another month's worth of support and the rest of it. I need your help. Please consider us when you're making your decisions. Until the next time, take care of your families, start preparing for their security and safety, and be well. Bye-bye now.